Welcome to Am I in the Wrong Room? A podcast exploring self-discovery, growth, joy, and the journey to your most authentic life. I'm Kimberly, your host and fairy godsister. Hey, welcome back. And if you're new here, thanks for joining me. I hope you like it here. So today we're going to be talking about loneliness. Let's get into it. Prior to COVID, loneliness was a growing societal issue. And now it's come to head in a way I don't think anyone expected, from relationships, friendships, marriages, abuse, non-abuse. There are so many levels and experiences of loneliness. For example, there are people trapped in their homes with narcissistic and abusive partners. Those who sit quietly when they get home from work until it's time to go to sleep and go back to work. Those people have been separated from the only interactions that they had, support from family and friends that turn into video calls and text messages that slowly go unanswered or answered with delays. Seniors and other at-risk people who are separated from their families and the activities they used to do on a daily basis that kept them connected to community. Women in doctor's offices staring at ultrasounds of a baby their partner can only see a printed copy of. And partners sitting in their cars waiting for heartbeats that are captured over speakerphone. People isolated in hospitals trying to live while their families are trapped outside of the building. Droves of people getting up and moving several feet from their bed to a computer, driven to keep working and moving the interests of others. A new set of people formerly in relationships that have turned completely into dust. Per Psychology Today, 2 in 5 Americans report not having meaningful relationships, and 1 in 5 Americans reports feeling lonely or socially isolated. So what exactly is loneliness? Loneliness is painful. The same areas of the brain that are affected by physical pain are the same areas of the brain affected by loneliness. And it's a serious threat to your well-being and has long-term health risks like depression, whether it's the root of it or a side effect, a greater risk of heart disease, obesity, type 2 diabetes, higher stress, immune dysfunction, arthritis, and Alzheimer's. Julianne Holt Lundsted of Brigham Young University has found in her research that insufficient social connection is like the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It impacts all of society. It's not just heartache, a romantic heartache. It's a state of distress from a perceived or real gap between societal connection and your actual experience. It's the root of so many feelings, and in some cases, it's the root of depression and not just a side effect of it. Loneliness can be experienced in groups, in relationships, in marriages. The presence of other people is not a solution to loneliness. John Cassapio, author and researcher of the University of Chicago, defines loneliness as a debilitating psychological condition characterized by a deep sense of emptiness, worthlessness, lack of control, and personal threat. So it's time for our first journal prompt. However, this one has a disclaimer that's really important. Studies have shown recalling experiences of loneliness can distort our perspective of a relationship and result in us devaluing that relationship. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't blame anyone. Just focus on how you felt and what was happening. Here is our journal prompt. Journal prompt number 1. What are the top 3 loneliest experiences of your adulthood? In a change, I'm going to share, and I have 2 examples. They may not relate to you, but I hope you can see how differing these experiences can be. The first is I have experienced natural abandonment. I have a 12 to 13 year gap between myself and the other kid members in my family. When I was 4, everyone was almost 18. We had extremely different lives. And of course, they had to go live theirs. And there's a level of loneliness that comes with that. Second, and I'll cover more when I talk about what it's really like to leave the narcissist, but before I realized my relationship was ending and I was experiencing narcissist discard, I was provoked into a multi-day panic attack that almost cost my life. When I finally accepted my village telling me it was intentional and it realizing it was intentional, It felt as though I was dropped sideways onto the earth, landing on and bouncing off my shoulder. Unsure of where I had been and what had really happened over the last 6 years. There were two realities, one I had been a part of and the other that happened. The difference between what I thought was happening and what was happening, both were true, and one was a lie. I didn't know which one the lie is. I wasn't sure who I was. I wasn't sure who my ex-partner was. I didn't belong anywhere. My memory was wiped as clean as it was equally vivid. I was different. I stopped sleeping. PTSD set in. I only cried. I had constant paralysis nightmares. I couldn't have a normal conversation. I stayed pretty silent. I had no place in the world. I grieved a person and a relationship that either never existed or it had. And I still had to try to sign on and do work and be perfectly okay. Unfortunately for my friends and family listening, it almost didn't matter who was there because I was not. I was not there, here, or anywhere else. I was stuck between realities, and one is a lie. I don't know which one. It was not happiness because he was gone. It wasn't relief. It was more of the same pain and silence. Actually, more silence. It was isolation inside of my own mind. That was only 8 months ago. Now, listen, I don't want you to sit there and say, damn. I mean, yes, damn. That was heavy to say, much less decide I was going to say it. But I was surrounded by love, real love. My mom, my friends, my therapist, my numerous aunts. I wasn't alone. I was lonely. If anything, I was the least alone. I had been in all of the 6 years I had been in that relationship. Literally, the messages, the sitting with me, the forcing me to eat. My dog barely even went outside to the yard. Louis Cozzolino of Pepperdine University has made it clear. We people, humans, are wired for connection. We are meant to connect to one another. At one of the jobs I've had in my life, we had a survey to take about our working conditions. In short, it was a mini psych evaluation and it had a really important question on it. So important, my manager made a point of explaining what the question was really asking and then making it clear that if you couldn't answer yes, she needed to have a serious conversation with you. Do you have a best friend at work? The question was targeted to mean her position, but she also made it clear if it wasn't her, it needed to be someone else. Were you connected? Did you come to work and feel alone? Was there quality in the interactions you had and the people around you? I've used that as a measurement at every position I've ever had since. The places I have the most disdain for are the places I had no real connection. Now, some may have offered a connection, but they weren't authentic. And likely in my loneliness, my ability to pick up on other factors and sense rejection was at an all-time high. That's the thing. Loneliness isn't solved by just being around other people. It's not solved by making new friends or joining a club or a group. Let's get into journal prompt number two. What were the things you were told when you tried to open up? How did it make you feel? Did it directly address your feelings? Was it disappointing? Did you ask for what you need? Did you see a way to give as well? Listen, loneliness is painful. And when you're already lonely, it's easier to pick up on the cues of rejection and further isolate yourself. Darling, those cues aren't always the truth. What loneliness causes you to feel and that distortion, sometimes other people pick up on it. You are withdrawing sometimes and you don't even realize it. You may be tense and you don't realize it. Plus, loneliness is contagious and it does sometimes cause us to get pushed out as others try to avoid those feelings themselves. Look, you're tense right now. Relating to this discussion, loosen your jaw. Move your mouth around and loosen that jaw. Relax. Shake it off. Harlem, shake a bit and breathe. Relax. We are just talking and I know you feel it. But I want you to know that I and so many others relate to you. And we are going to talk about some steps we can take, but let's finish up first. People are not always equal to the answer. Connection and quality are more important than quantity. And I know you've been wrestling with this, especially when you try to connect as well. The answers that you get, those make it worse too. You may already feel anxiety and tension because you feel different. You feel out of place. You feel like you can't relate. And whenever you've tried, it's been a stupid experience. You feel misunderstood by the simple solutions that you've been given. Similar happens with ADHD. Simple solutions I already know, and they aren't getting that I know that already, and that's the problem. I know, and I'm still struggling to do it. And there's so much more to it than how simple someone else is making it seem. You've even put that mask on without realizing it, pretending to agree, giving chances to people you actually don't like. And while I just said that this will make you reject people before they reject you, I'm sure that you've tried to put up with people you legitimately don't like in an effort not to be lonely. Your triggers are showing and others sense it. You sense so much more about them because of the state you're in yourself. It's a long and complex road to getting back to yourself and others. So you anticipate not fitting in. I'm not judging you, and don't be embarrassed. I have the same feelings you are remembering. Relax. You will find that quality connection, but they do take time to create, and there is nurturing on both sides required. Remember, we are all struggling with something. Let's get into journal prompt number 3. What has been the rejection you've sensed while trying to make new connections or fix old ones? What did you do? Why did you give up? Did you ask for what you needed? Or did you spend time repeating the issue at the person? Did they make you feel less than? Why do you feel they acted so funny? Last, I want to hit being in a relationship and dealing with this, because isn't that the point or one of the many points and purposes of a relationship at all? Being alone in a relationship is so painful and frightening. You can't share, you'll be emotionally attacked when you do, and then you're going to break up with this person to be full of loneliness? That creates so much anger, and then you lash out at the person who, at the time and point, is making you feel that way. And now it's a loop of negativity. I remember being so angry with my ex for leaving me alone. I would wait for him to come home only to regret that he was home, because at least during the day, I was alone and felt lonely. But now he's home and I feel even more lonely. Like a good narcissist, I was slowly but not completely isolated from my friends because of what was happening, and I didn't want to keep talking to them about it. Plus, he would get so angry. I was isolated from him by his own intentional and non-intentional actions. One day, I was so upset and hurt by how my friend communicated with me. She was in her own survival mode, and not knowing that, I took it super personally. He supposedly came home to be with me and instead started a huge fight. It resulted in me locking myself in the bathroom while he patronized me from outside the door. Loneliness can activate your flight or fight response. In the presence of other people is not necessarily the solution. Not to mention, the examples I've shared were done intentionally. So now, how do you combat loneliness? When it comes to a relationship, I thought leaving would be as bad or worse than the few experiences I've shared with you today. I had to stare it in the face. Really, it was all I was left with. You have to stop the negative feedback loop. This is why I continue to say you have to consider therapy or at least journal. You have to get it out, and it has to live somewhere outside of you that can be set on fire, ripped up, or more. So what do you do? Start with small acts of kindness. Literally, don't despise small connections. Don't despise small beginnings. I'm an introvert, so naturally I hate small talk, but small talk is still a connection. It's still a small beginning. It still helps to build your sense of community. Things are not black and white. They are multifaceted and complex. The same rejection you pick up from others can be the tension in your body that you aren't even aware of. And it's not your fault. Even if it is your fault, your only job is to start to fix it. I'm introverted. I hate small talk, but talk to others. Speak to them kindly. Listen. Let them listen to you. Be kind. It helps build more connections that are meaningful. Those small connections are important. Do more. Learn more. Introduce creative controls, hustles, and hobbies that build off of your interests and your talents. Do you use drugs to try to treat the loneliness? Find something else that's meaningful to you. Singing, drawing, speaking, looking out and fighting for the interests of others. What is something expressive you can control without violating others' boundaries? What can you do to honor yourself? How can you honor others simply for who they are? Maybe get a plant. Learn about its needs. Since each plant has different care, we are the same way. We're plants with more complex emotions and needs. How can you use those rejection cues to figure out what kind of care you can offer? Is it patience, a smile, a kind word, acknowledgement of existence? Maybe even get a pet. There are thousands, if not millions, of shelter pets across this country who would love to have a human to spend their time with, to share with, and to love. Look at the differences between what is happening to you and what you feel is happening to you. Give your brain something else to do. Do not define yourself by this period of time you are living in. It's going to change. Change is inevitable. Be self-reflective. Be kind to yourself. Be as kind as you wish others were to you. Be proactive. Do something. It doesn't have to involve other people. But your hobby may give way to connection with others in a meaningful way, and that will help break the negativity loop. It is a long and complex road back to yourself, and that's okay. Loosen your jaw, breathe, write down everything you think you would like to try, talents you've never gotten to use. Pick something and start. Stop when you don't like it and pick something else. Add something whenever you figure out how to do the first thing moderately. Find one small act of kindness that you can do today. That's our podcast. How are you feeling? Let me know over on Instagram at @MINTheWrongRoom. One word. This is a great lead into trusting yourself. So let's talk about that next week. Enjoy this weekend. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Celebrate the things that no one knows anything about. Love yourself. Love others. And you are loved. Move like you are loved because you are. Bye. Not often we can see the beauty.